What's going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA podcast. Another week of MMA, guys. I am so happy to be here this week. It is Thursday, November 5th, 2 days after the U.S. presidential election. And guess what, guys? We have no idea right now who the president is. And it sounds like my home state of Pennsylvania might be one of the key states that will give us a winner, basically. But we don't talk about politics here. Welcome back. I am very happy that you are tuned into this podcast. If it's your first time, if you've been here since the beginning, do me a favor. 5-star ratings and reviews, wherever you're listening to this, please drop a 5-star. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. And I will address the issue, or I will continue to do what I do. Let's get into a heavy, heavy week of news, guys. We did have a UFC event this past weekend, and with that event happening, we had Dana White talking, and he said some very, very interesting things this past weekend. Number one being Dana White confirming that the next matchup for the UFC light heavyweight title will be the champion Jan Blachowicz against UFC's undisputed, undefeated middleweight champion, Israel The Last Stylebender Adesanya. Wow, this was news that rocked the MMA world. It was very out of nowhere. There was some talk of it from DC and Helwani as soon as Jan won the title. DC actually said that Izzy was the best light heavyweight in the world now that Jones has moved up to heavyweight, which you can't say that about someone who hasn't fought at 205, but I digress. Listen, point blank, I'm excited for this fight. It sounds like the UFC offered it to Jan in December, but Jan has a child. He's waiting for a child that is supposed to come in January. So he told the UFC that you can book this fight after February, so March and beyond. So I am hopeful that the deal will get done and that fight will happen in March, barring any unforeseen circumstance. This is a fantastic opportunity for Izzy. He kind of laid out his plan, and it sounds like, you know, he's pretty much cleared out the division at middleweight with only 2 defenses, which is crazy to think about. But he goes, he defeats Jan Blachowicz. This is his words, not mine. He defeats Jan Blachowicz, and in that time, he might go back down, defend his title at 185 once again, and when he goes back up, by that time, John Jones should be the heavyweight champion of the world. He goes and fights John Jones at heavyweight, and Izzy, 3 belts. So, you know, that is crazy to think about. It's a even crazy of him to say that, but he hasn't steered me wrong yet. I believe in you, Izzy, and I will be watching this closely. I just hope that he doesn't look past Jan Blachowicz, because Jan has fantastic power. We've seen him overcome unforeseen circumstance, and he's been able to, you know, become a champion. Think about this guy. I don't want to say it like this, but he was a nobody. Let's be honest. He was just another guy in the pecking order, someone that they were going to serve up to John Jones. John Jones leaves, and he crushes the guy that John Jones had a really hard time to defeat. Yes, he still defeated him, but listen, that was one of John Jones' toughest fights. So congratulations to Izzy on the opportunity, as well as Jan Blachowicz, because this is really the biggest name that Jan Blachowicz could fight at this stage of the game. So this is perfect scenario, you know. You're either going to fight, you know, we'll talk about this weekend, Glover Teixeira or Thiago Santos. You already have a loss. to Thiago Santos, and Glover Teixeira is a dog. He has fantastic grappling. Look what my man did in his last fight against Anthony Smith. That was rough. So we're going to really watch this light heavyweight division closely. This is kind of breathing new life into it. You know, we said it when John Jones left that it should be a brand new division, and boy, is it a brand new division. I am excited for that. Stepping away from the mixed martial arts, you know, realm, let's talk about this past weekend, Gervonta Tank Davis defeating Leo Santa Cruz in the sixth round with one of the most devastating uppercuts I have seen since Francis Ngannou sent Alistair Overeem into a new career. Alistair Overeem is a brand new fighter since he got knocked out into the next dimension. But you know, I'm not a big boxing fan, but this is something I noticed, especially coming from this past weekend, just in, let's talk about it. So Greg Hardy is someone who has a troubled past. He has, you know, domestic abuse allegations. Apparently there's a lot of evidence to that, but he has fought that and claimed innocence, and, you know, all the charges got dropped, which I'm not saying he's innocent, but here's my issue. If you're going to treat Greg Hardy one way, you have to treat everybody else, big star, little star, the same exact way. So someone like Gervonta Tank Davis is such a big star, but Gervonta Tank Davis also has domestic abuse allegations against him as early as February of this year. So if I'm going to judge Greg Hardy on his character for his past allegations, I'm going to talk about someone like Tank Davis the same way. Yo, Tank, you're hitting women, bro. I'm not with it. I cannot support someone like that. And it's crazy that everybody, you know, because they think he's such a good boxer, they're quick to, you know, sweep it under the rug. But someone like Greg Hardy, who's fighting to, like, kind of get his life back. This guy hasn't been able to live a normal life his whole professional career. He gets talked about, dragged through the mud, and everything in the beginning of his career. On his, someone who is extremely promising like Greg Hardy. But think about that. I'm not going to talk about Tank Davis anymore for that simple reason until it is resolved. Please do not hold a double standard to these athletes. Just like Floyd, just like Mike Tyson, talk about those things as well if you have such a big problem with Greg Hardy's situation. Back to the mixed martial arts realm, Paige VanZant, someone who was a big star in mixed martial arts, decided to step away from mixed martial arts this year and signed a humongous contract with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. She is set to make her bare knuckle debut on Super Bowl weekend. I don't know how excited I am to see someone like that fight bare knuckle. It's already hard enough to watch these, everybody, you know, male and female, fight in mixed martial arts. You know, this is like real as it gets fighting. Bare knuckle, like no gloves, it's hard to watch. So I probably won't watch that, I'm going to be completely honest. I said this past week has been election week, and in the mixed martial arts realm, Tito Ortiz gets elected to the Huntington Beach City Council. Congratulations, even though we don't agree politically, what I want to see out of our politicians is decency. I want to see people being treated like human beings equally, and, you know, if you could do that, then please do. If you have a way to make the world a better place, please get into these positions of power where you can do that. Now, if you're going to mock and judge everybody, please don't even bother. So, Tito, if you're there to do that, I wish you nothing but the worst. But if you're there to do better, do better. Dana White, once again, this weekend, claiming that he will not strip Khabib of the title. He is still the lightweight champion of the UFC. It sounds like Khabib, in Dana's mind, took back his retirement. I don't believe that one bit. I just think that Dana wants Khabib in the UFC. Obviously, he's a big star. He's a big draw. The man just made $10 million. So, Dana, I know Dana knows that everybody's not fueled off money, especially someone like Khabib, but Dana is hopeful that Khabib will come back for that illustrious 30-0 that his father allegedly wanted from him against George St. Pierre. A very, very, I'm so thankful to say this. Khalil Roundtree has signed a new contract with the UFC after, you know, earlier this year he spoke about retiring and stepping away from mixed martial arts. Someone with immense talent, a heart of gold. I think that the sport needs someone like Khalil Roundtree. So I wish him the best, man. I hope that in this time away, you've got to find everything that you've really searched for outside of mixed martial arts in yourself, and that you're able to come back with the sport to the sport with a clear perspective, and that you can really just be excited to fight again rather than nervous and annoyed. So Khalil Roundtree, I am a fan. Let's get it, man. I wish you success, dude. I really do. And then the news from this weekend, The Ultimate Fighter 29 is back this March. Men's bantamweight division and the men's middleweight division, there are no coaches yet. The only thing we know is the weight classes and the date, and online submissions and tryouts are going on as we speak. So if you're a men's 135-pounder or a men's 185-pounder, looking forward to seeing you. Somebody new. Let's get it. This makes me so happy to say. Yesterday, Wednesday, actually a special night for the Contender Series, they returned yesterday on Wednesday for a quick, a very quick night. Four fights, four finishes, four contracts. Let's start from the bottom. Jared Vandera defeating Harry Hunsucker via TKO in the first round. Luis Saldana defeating Vince Murdoch by TKO in the third round. Longest fight of the night. We had Ignacio Bahamondos defeating Edson Gomez via knockout front kick in the second round. That was devastating. And then in the main event, City Kickboxing Zone, Carlos Olberg defeating Bruno Oliveira via knockout in the first round. What a night of fights. I urge everybody that has 10 minutes of their time tops to tune into this past Contender Series. It was a fantastic watch. I love this series. I spoke about it before. I watch it with my wife. She loves to hear the stories of these fighters and where they come from and how they got here. That's also my favorite part, as well as getting in on the ground floor. This is the UFC's way of grooming talent. So I'm here for it. I love to watch the talent from the beginning. So here we go. Tuesday Night Contender Series is back. Four finishes, four contracts in four fights, which is ridiculous. Congratulations to those four fighters. We have some fight announcements this week. Some crazy ones, too. So we spoke last week about Robbie Lawler being out. Obviously, Mike Perry called out Khamzat Chimaev. Khamzat has the biggest fight of his career coming out. So who does he get? Tim Means, the Dirty Bird. That should be a really exciting fight. We got some heavyweight news, which is fantastic. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Junior Dos Santos versus Surreal Gain. Surreal Gain is a fantastic prospect out of Paris, France. He is 6-0. He is currently on a 3-fight win streak in the UFC. Leading up to this Junior Dos Santos card, he had 4 fights canceled. I think this is best case scenario for him. He's facing one of the greats, you know, Junior Dos Santos, former champion. Yes, he is probably on the tail end of his career, you know, 3 losses, 3 finishes, but I am still confident that Junior Dos Santos is a fantastic test for Surreal Gane. Real tough fight, man, but it should be a good one. We have a fantastic fight at light heavyweight, Dominic Reyes versus Jiří Procházka. This is a tough test as well for Jiří Procházka, another prospect that is out of this world. His last performance against, I'm going 100 miles an hour. I'm so sorry. His last performance against Ozdemir was phenomenal. I am 100% positive that he cannot throw caution to the wind against Dominic Reyes the same way he did with Ozdemir, but I am looking for an exciting fight, and you know me, I'm always rooting for the prospects, so Dominic Reyes, I'm sorry. We have a middleweight matchup, Brad Tavares versus Antonio Carlos Jr. We have a fantastic fight at women's flyweight, Cynthia Calvillo versus Caitlin Chookagian. Let's see if Caitlin Chookagian could bring it back. We know she spoke her last fight week about wanting to start a family, so I believe that if she takes the L in this next fight, she might take some time away from the cage to finally start that family. We have a fantastic, this is probably one of my favorite fights out of this this week's fight announcements, but Michelle Waterson versus Amanda Ribas. Wow, this should be a banger for the women. This should be like one of the fights of the year for women. Amanda Ribas is amazing. I love her attitude. I love her style. She is a killer, and Michelle Waterson is trying to on a career resurgence for real. She took some L's there, but she's trying to get back in the win column for that title fight. And I think with a win over Amanda Ribas, someone who is immensely skilled, Michelle Waterson should be getting close to that title shot once again. We have Alexander Pantoja against the debuting Manil Cape. This guy is a former flyweight champ for Ryzen. He is a stone-cold killer, and I'm looking forward to this. He's getting no handouts. Pantoja is no joke. This should be a really, really fun, fast-paced fight, as most flyweight fights are. Then someone that I spoke about a few weeks ago, I believe, Santiago Ponzinibbio. He's back, and he has a tough fight against ahead of him in the welterweight division. Muslim Salikov is no slouch. Both of these guys are unranked. Obviously, Ponzinibbio is only unranked due to inactivity, but let's hope he can get back in the winning column, because I see a lot of fun fights with him being back at that division. He's someone that we spoke about being a tough test for Tyron Woodley back in the day. And now Kamaru Usman is the champ, and I think we haven't seen Ponzinibbio in 2 or 3 years now. So this should be, his resurgence should be very interesting to watch. We have another really fun fight at welterweight. This is crazy. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Jeff Neal versus Wonderboy Thompson. Wow, we were just talking about Wonderboy a few weeks ago. Was he going to fight Hazmat? Was he going to fight Leon Edwards? No, bro. You're going to fight Jeff Neal. This is going to be a fun one. That's it for fight announcements this week. Let's talk about this past weekend, starting with Bellator really quick. Gegard Mousasi defeating Douglas Lima pretty soundly by unanimous decision. Nothing too crazy there. I wouldn't say it was a boring fight. Just when I think Douglas Lima solo, when I think Gegard Mousasi solo, I think of these legendary performances that I've seen them have, and them together in the cage was not that. I'm not saying that it was a terrible fight. It was just wasn't the most exciting. In other news from that same exact card, we had AEW's own Jake Hager, a.k.a. Old Jack Swagger, getting a victory, probably his first real test, and he got the victory by split decision, but he did get beat up pretty bad. So congratulations to Jake Hager on that win, and of course, congratulations to Gegard Mousasi for regaining the title that some people didn't think you have ever lost. So moving on to this past weekend, we also had, let's talk about this, Uriah Hall versus Anderson Silva. Let's start at the beginning of the night with the prelims. Six fights on that prelim card, five finishes. The first one coming from Miles Johns, defeating Kevin Navidad via third round knockout. This was devastating. Miles Johns is someone, once again, a product of the Contender Series, someone who is incredibly talented. I remember first seeing him, and not just because he's a short, like, caramel black dude, ball-headed, saying that he reminds me of Mighty Mouse. It's the movement, it's the striking, it's he is immensely talented. He's coming off a loss, comes back with this devastating KO. He's someone that I'm really looking forward to seeing more of. Hopefully, next time he'll be more than just the fight, the first fight of the night. I hope that this guy works his way up, because I see so much in him. He is that good. He is that good, and this KO showed it. We had Dustin Jacoby coming back from a very long layoff from the UFC, defeating Justin Ledet via first-round TKO. Then we had our first submission of the night, Jason Witt defeating Cole Williams by arm triangle. The lone decision on the prelims, we had Sean Strickland defeating Jack Marshman by unanimous decision, 30-27s across the board. And then my favorite performance, Adrian Yanez defeating Victor Rodriguez via first round knockout. This Adrian Yanez kid is another product of the Contender Series. He is quick, his striking is beautiful, and he knocks out this guy with a head kick. Wow. Congratulations, Adrian Yanez. 50 grand, well deserved for you, brother. Then we had the return of Alexander Hernandez. He defeated Chris Gritsmacher via TKO in the first round. And I've never really been the biggest fan of Alexander Hernandez. Maybe it was because the first time that I paid attention to him, he was facing Donald Cerrone, and he was point blank an asshole. I'll never forget watching the build up to that fight and being like, yo, this kid is going to get jacked up. And what happened in that fight? He got his ass whooped. Well, new team, new attitude. He might be something to watch in the future. This guy looked like a completely different fighter. Congratulations to Alexander Hernandez. I know he's been through some tough times since that Donald Cerrone fight, but he has a new team, and like I said, a new attitude. You could tell he's a little more mature, and I'm excited to see the growth in Alexander Hernandez. I will give you the benefit of the doubt, Alexander. Please, just stay in your lane. Don't go back to that asshole personality, because it drives me away from you. Then we move on to the main card. It started off with the quarantine MVP, Bobby Green, taking an L to Thiago Moses, 29-28 across the board. I thought that Thiago Moses, someone who is known very much for his ground game, I thought that he had great striking. He really put it on display. And it's not that Bobby Green was in any point winning this fight. It was the attitude that Bobby Green had in the cage, where he was putting his hands down, kind of like trying to get Thiago Moses to like react. It didn't work. I think Bobby Green needed to be a little more active. I think if he actually actively struck with him, he might have had a chance to actually take that. But then if you're really active, you know, Thiago can shoot in. Even though when Thiago did shoot in, Bobby Green didn't have any issues with getting up or, you know, sprawling away from him. I think a little more activity in the UFC goes a long way. And whether it be him striking more or maybe throwing more smart punches and strikes, he probably would have looked a little better in this fight. Watch that fight. It was exciting, but Bobby Green, please put your hands up, bro. Then we had Kevin Holland defeating some nobody by slam. The guy hurt his neck. We wish him the best, but Kevin Holland is someone that, you know, 4 victories this year, I believe, and just like killing the game, but I just don't see it. Like, they look at this guy like he's the next style bender, and I just don't see it. I hope that he steps in the cage one more time this year and can prove me wrong. It's unfortunate for him because he kind of had a late replacement. And to me, that's like, yes, it's good on you for taking that fight, but like, you're expected to win that fight. Like, I expected you to win this fight, and you did very convincingly, but it just didn't like wow me. You know, the slam, okay, cool. You slammed the guy. I want to see more skill than that, not just brute strength. It wasn't anything that was like hard to do, if that makes any sense. In the co-main event, we had Bryce Hall defeating Andre Feely by unanimous decision. This was a very, very fun fight. I gave Bryce Hall 1 and 3. Andre Feely took 2 very convincingly. Bryce Hall is relentless, man. That kid does not stop. And neither does Andre Feely. He goes to the bell, and I appreciate that about him, and that's why he's so exciting to watch. That's why, despite losing, people still tune in to see Andre Feely, because he's that dog. The one thing I took away from this fight, and it wasn't even the fight, it was the post-fight with Bryce Hall, his post-fight interview. And I'm not even going to edit this. I've been saying Bryce Hall because he used so much jiu-jitsu that I'm confusing him with Ryan Hall. It is Bryce Mitchell. Bryce Mitchell, post-fight, had a anti-mask. I'm using quotation marks because I don't want to call it that. Anti-mask, you know, kind of diatribe. I'm not for it. You, buddy, are a hypocrite, because on your site, thugnasty.whatever the hell, you're selling masks, bro. Yes, I know it's a business. I understand that masks are something that the United States and the world needs right now. But if you're going to criticize masks, you don't get to sell them, bro. You really don't get that opportunity. Don't benefit off something that you don't even believe in. That's for you, Bryce Mitchell, Bryce Hall, whatever the hell your name is. You're incredibly talented, but you lack a few brain cells. I'm not going to blame it on where you live. I'm just going to blame it on your education, and your beliefs suck. Don't sell the mask if you don't believe in it. In the main event, we had Uriah Hall defeating Anderson Silva. Man, you know, no disrespect to Uriah Hall. Congratulations on your victory. But this fight for me was not about you. So I am going to move on from the fight to the fighter, Anderson Silva. There is no fighter in this game more important to me than Anderson Silva. I can honestly credit my MMA fandom to Anderson Silva. He is someone that... Man, hold on. I don't want to get emotional, but he's someone who I respect so much. He's my favorite fighter of all time. I credit my love for this sport to him. And it's been tough to watch the last few years. But I wrote an open letter on Instagram to Anderson Silva, and I'm going to read that, and then I might go a little more into detail about my love and for Anderson Silva and why he is so important to me. Here it goes. I remember finally getting to see Anderson Silva on live pay-per-view for the first time after only watching UFC highlights and Elite XC every chance I got. It was an invite from my buddy Joey Mendez. I was so excited to see the phenom that is Anderson Silva. Unfortunately for me, it was the first fight against Chris Weidman. And the weird thing that happened that night was that I've never let the legend of the Spider go. From that moment on, I always saw him as a great. It didn't matter that he lost that night. He was still a legend to me. Right after, I went back and I watched every UFC fight he was in, from Chris Leben to the Abomination with Damian Maya. Silva will forever live in my heart as my favorite. Wherever you go from now on, I thank you. I wouldn't have this passion for MMA if it wasn't for you, your fan, at Elroy Prepson. Josh Prep Egina. So, prior to that fight with Anderson Silva, as I stated in the open letter, I just watched UFC highlights. I've used this podcast to kind of figure out in my head where my MMA fandom started. And, you know, I remember watching so much Elite XC. a lot of Uriah Faber. And just like whenever it was on free TV, I was watching it. And, you know, highlights. A lot of UFC highlights. Wherever I could find them. You know, DVDs. The beginning of YouTube. Just being able to watch that stuff, it was exciting, you know, knockout compilations. And, you know, Anderson Silva's someone who I was always like, damn, this dude is a beast. So when Joey asked me to come over to watch the fight that night, I was like, hell yeah, Anderson Silva. And I never forget being there and obviously never seeing a UFC pay-per-view live. Just, like, going for the champ. Like, hell yeah, Anderson Silva. Like, I seen this guy. He does a lot of cool stuff. And I remember Joey's sister-in-law, Becky, was... she was, like, so tired of the antics by Silva. And she thought Chris Weidman was hot. So she... The women were actively rooting against Anderson Silva. And I'm like, no, no. I think I fell asleep prior to the fight, woke up right when the fight was about to start. And we all know how the fight went. He's like putting his hands down and he gets knocked out. And it was so devastating, but it's true. As I stated in the letter, I just never let that legend go. That was really like the major skid for Anderson Silva. It was all downhill from there for him, but to me it didn't matter. I was still excited to watch him fight. I was he was Anderson Silva, you know what I mean? And from there, his career went lost to Chris Weidman. You know, no contest to Nick Diaz, a loss to Bisping, a loss to Cormier, a real lame win against Derek Brunson. Then the Izzy fight, the Cannoneer fight, and this final fight with Uriah Hall. It's like, he hasn't looked like Anderson Silva since 2012. But for me, it just didn't matter. He was still my favorite. And like I said, thank you so much, Anderson Silva. I never, you know, you're the one fighter where I cannot wait to show my kids, this was my favorite fighter when I was a kid, you know, or this is what I was watching when I started watching MMA. This guy, he was a legend. He did this and he did that. I cannot wait. Anderson Silva, thank you so much. I appreciate you more than you'll ever understand. I do this podcast because of you. You're the reason I love this sport so much. Thank you. If this is the end, if you never fight a day in your life, you will continue to be my favorite fighter of all time. I appreciate you. You're a legend. And no matter what, you will always be number one in my heart, buddy. Thanks. Whew, that was heavy. This weekend, guys, we have a UFC event once again at the Apex. It is Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira. Just some notable names on the undercard. Max Griffin, Darren Elkins, Alexander Romanov at heavyweight. Giga Chikadze is back. That was a quick turnaround. Congrats to getting on the card real quick. Trevin Giles, someone who is a fantastic talent. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the headliner of the prelims. And then our main card, a fantastic fight at women's strawweight, Claudia Gadelha versus Yan Xiaonan. We have a middleweight scrap, Ian Heinisch versus Brendan Allen. A bantamweight fight, Rayoni Barcelos versus Khalid Taha. And then in the co-main event, Tanner Bozer versus Andre Arlovsky. And of course, our main event, Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira. Thiago, we have not seen since the John Jones fight. I'm very curious to see how Thiago looks coming back. Dating back to last year, Glover Teixeira has looked fantastic. Since losing to Corey Anderson, who we'll get to in a second, he has victories over Carl Roberson, Ion Cutelaba, Nikita Krylov, and Anthony Smith. Mind you, a devastating fight and victory over Anthony Smith. I'm looking forward to this a lot. I'm curious which Glover we get. Do we get the ground game Glover, or do we get this? You know, he looked extremely good on the feet against Anthony Smith. I wonder if he's going to try that against Thiago Santos. This is a real toss-up. You know, we expected this fight to be the number one contender fight. Now it sounds like Jan is going to fight Izzy. So I expect whoever wins this fight to fight the winner of those two. I'm rooting for Thiago because I believe that he beat John Jones. So I think he has deserved another shot. But in MMA, everything is earned, not given. So, bro, if they take it away from you, get it right back. Also, as I'm recording this, Thursday night, we have the Bellator debut of Corey Anderson. He is going to face Melvin Manhoef. Sure. I wish Corey Anderson nothing but the best, man. Someone who really got the short end of the stick. Maybe bit a little more off than he can chew. So I hope that he is extremely successful in Bellator. Also on that card, names like Tyrell Fortune, Austin Vanderfort, and Derek Anderson. So those are... Oh, wait a second. Actually, there's another prelim fight. Georgie Karkanian. Let's see. Anybody else? Janae Hardy's on this fight. She's popular for the wrong reasons. She's only popular because she has a pretty face, but she is a subpar fighter. So, Bellator, yeah. Running on a Thursday night. You guys know how I love cards that aren't Saturday or Sunday, so I'll probably be watching that in a few hours. But that's it. That has been this week's episode of Your Boy Elroy. I am Josh Prepagina. You can find me on all forms of social media. Elroy Prepson, one word. You can find the show on Instagram and Teespring, YBE MMA Podcast. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week.